If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a certain kind of person who hides cruelty behind conviction. They don't see themselves as cruel. They see themselves as right. Righteous, even. That's even scarier. And that's where the story of Ruby Frankie begins. Not in a YouTube vlog or a Utah courtroom, but in a quiet, obsessive certainty of a woman who needed to be so good so badly that she lost her humanity trying to prove it. Was she a narcissist? Maybe partially. But what I see in Ruby is something deeper. A zealot's mind in a mother's body. A woman so desperate to feel righteous, so terrified of being wrong, that she surrendered her conscience to someone who promised divine clarity. That person? Jody Hildebrandt, a so-called counselor, a spiritual fixer, and as we know, a manipulator who weaponized morality like a scalpel. Ruby Frankie didn't start as a villain. She started as a believer, a suburban Utah mom with a camera, a big smile, and a growing audience. Her family vlog, Eight Passengers, began as a typical momfluencer brand, perfectly curated domestic life, strict parenting lessons, moral sound bites about discipline and faith, but underneath that glossy exterior was something brittle, a personality that fed on external validation and structure. Ruby didn't just want to share her life, she wanted to be the example, the one who had it figured out. And when people like that lose their grip of certainty, they'll follow anyone who claims to have the answers. Enter Jody Hildebrandt, therapist turned self-help guru, a woman who cloaked authoritarian control in the language of her healing. Her Connections program promised spiritual clarity through absolute accountability, but in practice, it demanded submission. Jody believed emotions were manipulations, disobedience was sin, and compassion, that was weakness disguised as enabling. When Ruby met Jody, she was already exhausted, battling criticism online, accused of being too harsh, too cold, too performative. She'd lost her husband's support and much of her audience's trust. It's questionable whether she lost her husband's support, but there was certainly, and appears to be, some issues going on there. Allegedly. Jody stepped in with a tone of salvation. You're not wrong, Ruby. You're enlightened. The world just doesn't understand you. And that's how psychological control works. You don't start by breaking someone down. You start by validating them, inflating their ego just enough that when you later replace their judgment with yours, you don't notice it's gone. Ruby wasn't brainwashed overnight. She was groomed systematically, emotionally, spiritually. Jody became her therapist, her business partner, her roommate, her confessor. And in that role, she re-engineered Ruby's moral system. Every doubt Ruby had about her parenting reframed as weakness. Every critic cast as evil. Every suffering child interpreted as spiritual rebellion. The worse it got, the more Ruby doubled down. Because the alternative, admitting she was wrong, would have shattered the image she'd built her entire life around. That's not narcissism. That's delusion fortified by fear. We've seen this before in cult psychology. When identity fuses with belief, accountability disappears. Ruby's YouTube audience became her congregation. Jody became her prophet. Together, they built the theology of obedience that blurred into abuse. They didn't think they were torturing children. They thought they were purifying them. When Ruby's 12-year-old son escaped that house in August of 23, emaciated, bruised, and bound, he didn't just escape captivity. He escaped their doctrine. And that's the real horror here. The belief system itself. Ruby and Jody preach that suffering equals spiritual growth, that pain is proof of progress. So when the children begged for help, the woman saw resistance, not pain. They saw darkness, not hunger. They saw sin, not trauma. Because once you rewrite language, cruelty becomes care and justified. And that's what Jody taught Ruby to do. Now, I want to be clear. Ruby is not innocent. She wasn't hypnotized or under some mystical trance. She was a grown-ass woman who chose to follow. But she followed because Jody offered something she'd been chasing her whole life, moral certainty. When you strip it down, Ruby's entire identity rested on control, controlling her image, her children, her narrative, even her God. Jody simply gave her permission to stop questioning the consequences. That's what makes manipulation so powerful, especially when you mix it with religion. It doesn't erase free will, it weaponizes it. Ruby believed she was acting on divine instruction. She believed that to question Jody was to question God. And that made her not just compliant, it made her enthusiastic. Court documents reveal that Ruby's own diary framed the abuse as spiritual correction. She wrote about fasting, isolation, and repentance, describing her children as wayward souls. In one entry, she said she believed her daughter was possessed and that Jody had guided her through casting out darkness. It's not a metaphor. It's indoctrination dressed as therapy. It reminds me a lot of Lori Daybell. Another one, just one off. And that's what makes this case so chilling. It's not just physical abuse, it's ideological. But if Jody was the architect, Ruby was the builder. She filmed, edited, and posted parenting content even as her home became a prison. She told the world, good parents cause discomfort, bad parents cause ease. She looked directly into the camera and said, suffering builds character, while her own children were suffering off screen. It wasn't hidden, it was broadcast. That's part of her pathology, performative righteousness. The need not only to be right, but to be seen as being right. That's the narcissistic core. Not vanity, but moral exhibitionism. Ruby's entire sense of worth came from public affirmation. When that affirmation turned to criticism, she didn't question herself. She sought new audiences, one that would applaud her extremism instead of challenge it. Jody gave her that audience. Together, they fed off the power of being misunderstood. In their minds, persecution was proof of purity. When the verdicts came down, guilty pleas, multiple counts of aggravated child abuse, Ruby stood in court weeping, describing herself as a woman deceived by darkness. But even in confession, you could hear the hierarchy. She never said, I did evil. She said, I was led astray. And that's the abdication of ownership, the final refuge of someone who still can't bear to face the truth. She wasn't tricked into cruelty. She chose it. Then built a theology to justify it. Jody Hildebrandt, of course, played her part masterfully. Years before meeting Ruby, she'd already faced professional discipline for breaching client confidentiality. Her counseling license was suspended, then surrendered. She turned her downfall into a brand of spiritual coach who claimed modern therapy was corrupt and the only thing that could be correct was her way. The only truth, truth through accountability. But her version of accountability was inverted. She made others confess while she dictated what sin meant. She became the ultimate arbiter of morality for people like Ruby, who were addicted to structure. In Ruby, Jody found her perfect subject, devout, obedient, ambitious, and in need of a savior. And the result was predictable and devastating. When you put two authoritarian personalities together, one inevitably dominates. Jody had the stronger ego, the deeper need to control, and the pseudo-spiritual vocabulary. Ruby had the platform, the image, and the craving for direction. Together, they created what psychologists call a shared delusional system. A Faladu, feedback loop of moral certainty, where every act, no matter how cruel, reinforced their righteousness. When outsiders intervened, police, family, neighbors, they wouldn't see it. Their world didn't collapse from doubt, it collapsed from exposure. Ruby, sentenced 4 to 30 years, won't undo the damage. Her children will spend decades rebuilding trust, bodies, and a sense of safety. But what this case exposes is a pattern far bigger than Ruby Frankie or Jody Hildebrandt. It's about how authoritarian belief systems mutate in the age of social media, because Ruby didn't radicalize in a compound. She radicalized in plain sight, with subscribers, sponsors, and comments cheering her on. The feedback loop of fame and faith became indistinguishable. When the world began to criticize, she didn't retreat. She doubled down, found a darker teacher, and declared the critics demonic. And that's where the moral tragedy lies. Ruby built an identity on obedience and control. Jody weaponized that obedience into cruelty, and in the end, they both called it love. People ask if Ruby was manipulated. The answer is yes, but not in the way she wants us to believe. She was manipulated because she needed to be, because she was looking for someone to sanctify her self-righteousness, because she couldn't survive a world where her version of good was wrong. Jody gave her that world, then used it to destroy everything around them. If you strip the religion, the psychology, the YouTube fame, what's left is something primal, a power dynamic between a leader and a follower, both addicted to control. And like all toxic people, it demands sacrifice. In this case, it was Ruby's children. When I think about Ruby Frankie now, I don't see a villain twirling a mustache. I see a woman staring into her own reflection, desperate to see purity, terrified of seeing guilt, and finding someone who told her, "You're perfect as long as you let me decide what's true." That's a psychology of ruin. It's not a monster born overnight. It's a mother who lost her boundaries in the name of being right. And Jody Hildebrandt, she's the kind of predator that righteousness breeds. A manipulator hiding behind scripture, using faith as camouflage. Her power came from convincing others that she could save them from themselves. She didn't just manipulate Ruby, she colonized her conscience. And the result was a theology of cruelty, a belief system so warped it made torture feel holy. The justice system did its part, but for those children, the real survivors, the sentence is lifelong. They will grow up knowing their pain was live-streamed, their trauma was monetized, and their mother's faith was their punishment. That's not something you heal from with therapy alone. That's the kind of damage that changes the way you define love. Ruby Frankie's story isn't just about mothers gone wrong. It's about how dangerous certainty can be. It's about how manipulation thrives in the cracks of conviction. And it's about how easily a person seeking moral clarity can become a weapon in someone else's war. In the end, Ruby wasn't possessed by demons. She was consumed by her own need to be right. And Jody Hildebrandt knew exactly how to feed that need until it devoured everything around her. Because sometimes the line between faith and fanaticism isn't a line at all. It's a mirror. And Ruby Frankie never learned how to look away. Give me your thoughts in the comments section. You ever experienced someone like Ruby or like Jody? You ever feel led astray in life by someone who seemed to offer the solution that verified that your problem is your way of thinking, that other people are saying, "Hey, you better, this isn't great. This is not a great thing." But they said, "No, you're right." And you fell into that trap, believing it. They're out there. Doesn't always end this bad, but they're out there among us every single day. I'd love to get your thoughts in the comments. And be sure to press subscribe as well, so you don't miss any of our coverage of the cases we follow for you right here. I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.